Of course, you know, there's always a lot of things that you could be doing, but you decided to be in the house of the Lord here today. Amen. It's just so good to see everybody. We welcome you to Family Church. As I look out and about, hey, there might be a face or two that you are brand new here, or maybe you've just been here two or three times. It's just so good to see you coming back. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord. Amen. And for those of you that are visiting, if I've not had an opportunity to introduce myself to you, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here, and we just welcome you, and we want to get you connected to God's plan for your life. Amen. And church, whose opportunity is it to make sure that our guests know that they are welcomed in this place? That is ours. Let's go ahead and welcome those that are visiting here today. So glad to see you. And glad to see you back. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be here with you today. Folks, has everybody just go ahead and set aside those trials and those challenges of the week? Go ahead and remove those things out of your mind. Don't place your care on them any longer. They're not worth it. Amen. The more you try to hold on to it, the less God can do with it. I tell you what, He lifts the burdens that you have decided not to carry, that you decided to cast those burdens on Him. Amen. Of course, we all get challenged. Of course, there's things that come our way. But you're just going to have to go ahead and set those things aside and believe that God's big enough to carry it. Because He never called you to be the carrier of your own cares. He told us over there in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, to cast those things. To cast those things. And besides all that, He said that He's the greater one on the inside of us. Greater is He that's in us than he or anything else that's in the world. Amen. You know, there's a scripture that's playing on the inside of me. Can you bring up a verse for us? Can you bring up Philippians 4:13 in the Amplified? I tell you what, we need to get back to this. We brought this up a little bit ago, a couple weeks ago. Why don't we just start service with this? Why don't this just become your motto every single day? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bring up that verse in the Amplified. It says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything, equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient with the sufficiency of Christ. Amen. What does that mean? Everything you need is already with you. You know why? Because He's with you. You know why? Because the Spirit of God is with you. And here today, our goal is just to make you more mindful of the Holy Spirit. We're mindful of God's presence. But what if you said that every day, I have strength through Christ to do all things. I am ready for anything. I am equal to anything. Amen. We're going over. We're not going under. We're above, not beneath. We're the head, not the tail. Glory to God. We're sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, there's a lot of, you know, just doom and gloom in the world. Don't let the doom and gloom get on you, because if it does, who's going to be able to know that you're a Christian? You're just going to look like the rest of the world that is sad and worried and consumed. I tell you what, be careful about all that news that you're just fixated on. I tell you, a lot of Christians are getting too addicted to the news. Back when I was growing up, news was on at 6 and 11. How many of you remember that? 6 and 11. And then, of course, they'd get ready. It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Remember when society cared? You know, remember even when the news channel was trying to make you a better parent? The good old days. But now news is 24/7. And really, when it comes right down to it, very little of it is news. It's just political commentary trying to tell you why you should be worried, why you should be mad, why you should be angry, why you should be bitter. Bitterness is not the nature of a Christian. Anger and temper and being, steamed up because of politics is not the nature of God. You know, of course there's awful things being done. Of course, you know, there's just travesties, you know, in politics and all that stuff. But I tell you what, you can't let yourself be consumed by it. You cannot let yourself get down. You cannot be sitting there worrying, trying to carry all your cares and all that stuff. Either He's God or He's not. Amen. I believe He is God. He is the Lord. He's the God that changes not. And He says, because I'm faithful, that's the reason those things will not consume you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you here today? turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Ezekiel chapter 36. And today I'm going to call this message the roadmap to God's highest and best. The roadmap. And over the next several weeks, I'm going to be giving you step-by-step actions from the Word of God that you can take to make sure that you are right in the middle of God's will for your life so that you can walk in God's plan for your life. Amen. We need to know the roadmap, and I'm here to tell you, it's with you already. It's with you. You just got to discover it. You got to walk it out. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, it's not hard to fulfill God's plan in your life. It's not. It'll be challenged. But I'm saying in concept, it really isn't that difficult to figure it out. The difficult side is, will you be willing to crucify your flesh in order to live it, to walk it out? The roadmap to God's highest and best. And over the last couple weeks, I've been talking about the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And we're going right back to square one. We're going right back to the essential core truth of who the Holy Spirit is, what He does in our life, so we can know and recognize, and most of all, desire those things in our lives. Amen. And a couple of weeks ago, I taught a message called The Power of the Holy Ghost. And we saw this. The power of the Holy Ghost is reserved for who? For those that want it. For those that actually desire it. You know, those that want the Spirit. Those that will have the right motives. Those who want to obey God, not just try to use God as a problem solver. Amen. Remember what Jesus said over there in John 14:15? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. If you love me, you'll keep my instructions. You know, and he says, then I will pray the Father that he will send the Comforter unto you. But notice who Jesus was talking to. He said, those that have a desire and a motive to obey God. Those that have a desire to obey the Word, not just those who want to make the Holy Spirit their problem solver. We're living in a day and a time where I'm telling you, Christians are turning to the Holy Ghost because they just want Him to solve problems in their life. Now, I'm here to tell you that He is our helper. He is our comforter. But I'm just making the point, you've got to be careful that if you're just here to get problems solved, what's going to happen when those problems are solved? Folks, I've seen it as a pastor where people, they get locked in and they just want God to fix something. And listen, if you're going through a hard time, it's always a good time to turn to the Lord. It's always a good time to call out to Him. But be careful. What we've been talking about here for the last couple of months, be careful that your motives don't just become centered upon your wants and your desires. God is not here today to follow you. He is not here to conform to you. He does not fund your ideas. He is not, you know, thinking, you know, trying to, you know, catch up with what you're thinking. You know, He's giving us the gracious option to follow Him. Lay down our plan and our will for His plans and for His will. Amen. But we got to remember, He's not just a problem solver. Because as a pastor, I've seen people that they'll come into the church and they'll be desperate. And they'll be, you know, really seeking God to fix some problems in their life. And they'll start hearing the Word and they'll start doing the Word and obeying the Word and becoming part of a fellowship in a local church. And of course, when you obey God's Word, burdens will start to lift. And all of a sudden, God does start helping, and the Word works. How many of you believe the Word works? You know, and what happens is that all of a sudden, their problems and those things start to be lifted from their life, and when their problems are gone, then all of a sudden, they're gone. And all of a sudden, they go, and all of a sudden, they start drifting away from God because they think that He's just there as a problem solver. You know, this happened, I remember many years ago, there was a young man in the church. And he came to the church with a lot of, you know, issues and temper problems and vices and drinking and, you know, all these problems. And I just told him what I would tell any of us here today, that if you give your life to the Lord, if you will obey His word and sell out to Him, in 1 year, you won't recognize your life. And this young man, you know, he was in his 20s, you know, he came to the church, and sure enough, he started doing the word, he got connected, and 100%, all of a sudden, those burdens started lifting. All of a sudden, you know, the alcoholism was removed out of his life, he got control of his temper, his relationships started to flourish, he started to prosper in spirit, soul, and body, and then all of a sudden, he started drifting away. And next thing you know, all of a sudden he's only in church half the time. And then just once in a while, you know, and hardly there and all that. And I caught up to him and had an opportunity to sit down with him. And when I was sitting down with him, you know, I was talking to him. And he was just, you know, very positive and upbeat. Say, man, yeah, I mean, things are good and great and everything. I said, well, brother, I just want to let you know I miss you. It's, you know, it'd be great to see you in church and just stuff that I would normally say. And he says, well, you know what? My problems have been fixed. What do I need him anymore? Those were literally the words out of his mouth. Folks, we're not here to forge the path to the easiest life. We're here to forge a heart of faithfulness to be sold out to God, whether times are good or whether times are tough. Amen. Because good times are going to come and go. Tough times are going to come and go. Your life is going to, you know, look like a roller coaster at times in terms of good feelings and all that stuff. That does not matter. My goal isn't to change that chart. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to make, you know, everything just, you know, feel good all the time. I want to be faithful. I want my heart to be forged and shaped in a way that pleases God. Amen? Hallelujah. So we were talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. He's not just our fire extinguisher. We're after him for him. We're after him to put in the right heart so we humble ourselves and we become the thing that very few ever become, and that's willing. Willing. Are you here today? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, you can tell when someone gets real motivated and they want their problems fixed, because when the problems go away, so do they. And then last week, we taught a message called the Holy Spirit and his purpose. And we said this, the greatest ability and force of the Holy Ghost is to move the heart of man and to change our minds. Amen. Before and more valuable than the gifts of the Spirit, more valuable than speaking in other tongues, more valuable than miracles, even more valuable than healings in our body, is God's power to move upon our heart, to change our heart, give us a new nature, amen, and to renew our minds. That is first and foremost. And there's going to be people that they hear me say that and they'll get disgusted. They'll think that I'm trying to put down miracles, or they'll think that I'm trying to put down speaking in tongues, or I'm trying to put down healing or something. No, 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 no. I'm just telling you, priority number one, what God wants to change first before you get to those other things is that your heart has got to be right. Your heart has got to be right. Because I'll tell you what, I'm just going to speak very honestly. You know, as a Pentecostal preacher myself, I've seen it, you know, over the course of years. I've seen Christians get filled with the Holy Ghost. I've seen Christians speak in tongues. I've seen Christians, you know, desire miracles, but then they're not living right. If I'm telling you what, if you're not living right, but yet you believe in all those other things, I'm here to tell you that's out of order. Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, that goes over real good. Because if we're not careful, Christians will just want a miracle to be their shortcut. You know, they'll want, you know, tongues to be a shortcut. Or they'll want, you know, healing to be a shortcut. Or they just want something out of God. But see, God will not allow us to circumvent the heart process. The heart process has got to become more valuable to you than anything else. You got to challenge your own heart. Make sure you're desiring first things first. Lord, I want to be like you. Lord, I want to lay down any sin in my life. I want to humble myself and become willing. I want to think like you. I want to give like you. I want to be like you. I want a heart of understanding. Because if you get all the miracles in the world, but yet your heart isn't right, God's not interested. He's not interested. Boy, people get mad. Praise the Lord. I stand by that statement because you know why? It's true. It's true. Praise the Lord. We saw last week in the Word of God that our nature, apart from the Holy Spirit, is a lawbreaker. The Scripture says over there in Genesis chapter 6, remember when God said, I've regretted that I've even created mankind. He said, because mankind's thoughts and their hearts and their intentions is evil continually. Apart from the presence of the Holy Spirit, man's nature is to be a liar, is to be a thief, is to be a criminal, to be a lawbreaker. That's what sin is. Sin is basically breaking the law of God. Sin is just basically committing a crime against God. But aren't you glad that there was one that came who never broke the law of God and went, even though he was innocent and all of us were the criminals, he was executed on a criminal's cross so that we could take his place and be innocent, and he took our place with our guilt and our sin and our shame. Aren't you glad? And the Bible says that he has shed his love for God in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given to us. And we talked about that last week. And now today we're going to continue on even further talking about our nature that God has given to us. Amen. Go to Ezekiel 36. And we are going to start there in verse 25. And I'm just reading out of the King James Bible. You might have a more modern translation, which is just fine. That's good. We do put the scriptures on the screen. But folks, we don't do that so you keep your Bibles at home, right? We do that for our visitors. We do that so people who come into this church know it's about the Word. We don't want you taking my opinions. Don't believe me because I'm a pastor. Don't believe me because I'm standing up here, you know. Believe the Word. Believe the Word. It's the Word I want you to believe. Amen. Look at verse 25. We're going to read a few verses here. I'm going to get out my glasses just because I have to. Glory to God. It says this. This is God. This is the Lord speaking to Israel several hundred years before Jesus Christ ever showed up to this earth. This is a prophecy of what God would have to do through Christ to change our nature. If man was going to cease to be a criminal, if the human heart had any hope of ever pleasing and obeying God and selling out to God, God was going to have to do something great in our lives, all right? And he has done something great in our lives. And this is a prophecy regarding what God would do, not just for Israel, but for the world through Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, he's talking about the time when Israel would come back to their land, which was God's prophecy that would set up the very last of days. By the way, Israel came back to their land on May 14th, 1948. Do you realize that? Do you realize for almost 2,000 years, the Jews were scattered to the nations of the world? And for hundreds of years, Christians were like, you know, reading all these prophecies of the time when Israel would return to the land. Well, guess what? You're living in the time they have returned to their land. Israel is a nation. And the Lord said, when you see that, know that you are in the very last of days. That means we've been in the very last of days since 1948. There you go. Praise the Lord. This is what he's talking about. He says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean, meaning you're not right now, meaning he's talking to the Jews all these years ago. He says, you'll be clean from your filthiness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. He says, a new heart also will I give to you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your body, and I will give you a heart of flesh, or a heart that is tender, a heart of flesh. And in verse 27, he says, and I will put my spirit within you. Everyone say the Holy Spirit. That's who he's talking about here. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments, and you shall do them. See, if mankind was ever going to actually obey God and fulfill God's desires, man needed a brand new nature. He had to take out our old heart, that old criminal heart, and give us a heart that will love him and obey him and be tender for him. Amen. And then drop down to verse 31. Let's just get right to the point here. He also says this, which is very interesting. He says, then after you've been cleansed, after you get a new nature, he says, then you shall remember your own evil ways. Meaning, you'll be able to mentally remember your past. You will remember when you used to do evil things. And he says, in your doings that were not good, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your sins, your iniquities, and for your abominations. Folks, this is not talking about low self-esteem. All right, this is not talking about living a life of just condemning yourself or blaming yourself. He's talking about one day when God's Spirit dwells in you, it will abhor or hate what you used to do in your past. You'll be so cleansed. You'll be walking with the Spirit of God that you will refuse to live that old life. There should be a difference between a Christian and an unbeliever. We don't loathe people. We don't judge them for their ways, but we should loathe sin in our own lives. He says, you'll remember your own evil ways. You'll look back upon yourself like you were a different person. There will be a clear and distinct break from your old self versus your new self, and you will hate the deeds that you used to do. He said, you won't even think about going back to those ways. Meaning figuratively, you can be tempted that way. But in your heart, you won't want to. He says, you'll loathe yourselves in your own sight for your sins that you did in your past and for your abominations. I'll tell you what, I'm free. I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not going back to that old life. Amen. Now go back up to verse 25 and let's start going through this. Let's talk about this new heart and new nature and the Spirit of God that He has given to us. If you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, this is what He's talking about. This prophecy was hundreds of years before Christ came to this earth, telling us what Jesus would do for us through our faith in Him. How many of you made Jesus your Lord and Savior here today, right? Well, this is talking about you. He says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. Now, if you know the Jewish tradition, remember how they had to sprinkle everything? They'd sprinkle things with blood. They had any instrument that was going to be used in the temple had to be sprinkled. Anything that went into the Holy of Holies had to be sprinkled. It was the way that you set something aside to be used for the purposes of God. God is saying, I will set you aside. I'm going to cleanse you with clean water. Notice He says, I will clean you, or I'll cleanse you with clean water. Something that the Jews were always looking to have. Remember, if you read your Old Testament, remember when you would come up into the temple or the tabernacle? Remember how they had all those basins and they'd have to wash their hands? It was a symbol that man could never clean himself in the sight of God. Remember all the things they had to do, those ritualistic washings and all that? Come on, remember your Old Testament? That was a symbol that man could not get clean on their own. That's why God said, no, you got to wash your hands again. Nope, got to keep washing. So that they would learn this idea, I can't get clean on my own no matter what I do. God was trying to get them to understand, you're going to need pure, clean water and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now people wonder why it says, well, why does it say water? Well, do you know, remember what Jesus said over there in John? Where is that? Chapter 3 in verse 5. He says, unless a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Remember when Jesus said that? I think that's John 3:5. He said, unless you're born of water and Spirit, a man cannot enter in the kingdom of God. So I guess we better know what it is to be born of water and Spirit. That verse has confused Christians for a long time. They don't understand it. But remember, I think it is Ephesians 5:26. Says that He has cleansed us with the washing of the water of the Word. The Word is the washing of the water. The Bible says we're born again, not with the incorruptible, or not with the corruptible seed, but the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Remember in John 19, right around the 32nd, 34th verse? Remember when the soldier went to check to see if Jesus was dead on the cross? And they originally were going to break his legs, but they didn't because he was already gone. How many of you remember that? What did that soldier do, everybody? He took that spear and he pierced the side of Jesus. And remember, the Bible says that not just blood flowed out, but it said blood and water flowed out. So Jesus is also called in the Bible, he's called the Word. Blood and water flowed to cleanse you and I. Amen. That's what it's talking about. He said, I will put the blood and water of my Son upon you. You will be washed and you will be cleansed. Aren't you glad? We're not only free indeed, we're clean indeed. See, we got to remember this. He says this, and you shall be clean from all your what, everybody? Filthiness. You know, I did a big study on that word filthiness, and you know what that word filthiness means? Filthiness. It literally means your sinfulness, your unclean ways, the stuff that you do that defiles you before God. But we got to remember, this was written to the Jews. And if you understood the Jewish tradition and the customs of God of the Old Testament, remember what happened in the Old Testament when they were deemed to be unclean? Remember the things that would make somebody unclean? Remember if they could eat the wrong animal, they could have leprosy. Remember all the things that said you're unclean? And God said, you can't come before me. You can't mingle with me. Remember that? And remember when somebody was deemed to be unclean, what happened to them? They had to go outside the camp. They weren't even allowed to be in the camp, let alone in the tabernacle. Remember this? So when God said to them, I will sprinkle you with clean water, he said, I'm going to put an anointing on you that God can use you. I'm going to set you aside for my purposes, and I will clean you from all the filthiness that separates you from God. He said, I won't stay apart from you anymore. You won't be thrown outside of the camp. You won't be an outcast anymore. You'll be inside the camp. You'll be inside God's presence. See, this meant a lot to the Jews. It should mean more to us. Aren't you glad? This is what Jesus did. He cleansed you from your filthiness that separated you from God. Don't go back to that filthiness. Hate and despise those actions that used to keep you separate from God. He says, and he's like, I will cleanse you from your filthiness, and from all your idols, I will cleanse you. Whoa. All the things that you put in front of God, all the things that you chase more than God, he says, I am going to put my spirit in you. I'm going to put a new nature on the inside of you that will always know that it is wrong to put something else in front of God. I will put a spirit on the inside of you that'll tell you that it's wrong to chase kids' sports over going to church. I will tell you that it's wrong to pursue money and business over the things of God. Are you here? You say, well, Pastor, Christians do that because we're listening up here. We get into our mind. But if you listen to your heart, the nature that God has put on the inside of you, you'd say, no, 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 God's got to come first. No, 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 God's coming first. No, God's going to be first over my business. God's going to be first in my relationships. God's going to be first. Oh, are you here? See, an idol is anything that you put in front of God. The scripture says that God is a jealous God and he will not be second place to anything. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Are you glad to be in church here today? Yes. See, God is good to put a nature in us that is tender and soft, that lets us know, man, I haven't been serving God like I should. I haven't been putting God first like I should. I haven't been praying like I should. I haven't been serving like I should. See, that's not God trying to make you sad. The Bible calls that godly sorrow, or a correction that he puts on the inside of you. That's because you have his nature. That's because his spirit will first and foremost be concerned more about what you're doing, your character. Are you here? Praise the Lord. He said, I will cleanse you from all the things that you put in front of me. If you've got a relationship in your life that's more important to you than God, I tell you what, you better get that corrected. If you've got business or money, or if even your kids and their activities, if you're putting that stuff in front of God all the time, I'm here to tell you, something on the inside should bother you. You know, if you just don't care about being in church, you don't care about serving, you don't care about giving. See, God has put his spirit on the inside of us to cleanse us from our idols. Ooh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness. The Lord is jealous, and I'm here to tell you, he will talk to you at times and tell you, hey, you're too much into this. You're too much into that. Oh, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Yield to that. Make those corrections. Do what you got to do. Now look at verse 26. He says this, and we're not even to the main point yet. And I'm building up towards one main general point today. Verse 26, he says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away that stony heart out of your nature, and I will give you a heart that is tender, or like tender flesh. Notice this, he says, I will take away that stony, cold heart. I will take away that nature that doesn't care about the things of God. Are you here today? Oh boy. He says, I will take out that stony, cold heart that is without feeling. I'll take out that selfish heart. I will take away that indifferent nature that just acts like you don't care about the things of God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Even no matter how distracted you get, there's something on the inside always pulling you back, pulling and urging you to be faithful and sold out. See, that's the nature of God. He says that I'm going to put inside you a heart that's tender, a heart that's humble, a heart that is willing to do any task, no matter how great, no matter how small. I'm going to put a heart in you that's going to be reminded, or it's going to be sensitive to the idea that you're putting other things in front of God. I'm going to put a heart in you that's tender to forgive, to keep serving, to stay faithful no matter how tough the challenges get. Are you here? A heart that just is humbled and submissive and yielding and meek and soft. Are you getting a hold of this? See, folks, this is the greatest concern with the Holy Ghost, that first and foremost, your heart is willing, your heart is tender, your heart is open to correction, your heart is aware of when you're putting things in front of God. Are you here today? Praise the Lord. This is what we should desire first and foremost. We cannot skip this process and go right to the miracle. We can't skip this process and just go right to the baptism of the Spirit, hoping that'll just cure some problem in our life. We can't skip this, this process and just try to get our healing or try to get, our help from God. Say, well, Pastor, I'm going through a real challenge. What is the number one step that I should do? Get strong in God. What you should do is bring your heart before him more than you're bringing your problems before him. I'm going to say that again. Bring your heart before him more than you're just bringing your problems before him. God, yeah, you might have a lot of challenges going on, but if you'll hear his voice, he'll be saying, well, wait. Before we talk about your challenges and your needs, let's talk about this issue with your heart. Let's talk about correction in your heart. Let's talk about things that you've put in front of God. Let's talk about your attitude to the local church. Let's talk about your attitude with your spouse. Let's talk about how you talk. Let's talk about what you're doing or not doing. So many times people want the miracle, but God's got to go back. And he's got to make sure that heart issues are dealt with first. People say, well, I need healing, I need this, I need that, I need God to move. Well, is there something that you're unwilling to do for him? God will want to get that out of the way first. He will want to deal with unwillingness. He'll want to, deal with your heart if there's any resistance in your heart. Oh, boy. Pastor, come on. Let's just talk about laying on of hands and miracles. Let's just talk about praying in the Spirit. Let's just get right to those things. No, the Holy Ghost does not want to get right to those things. He wants to talk to you about your heart first and foremost. Whoa, glory to God. Say, well, Pastor, are you diminishing those other things? No, but those other things just point back to the original purpose of the Spirit of God, to move our hearts, to change our minds. Are you here? Notice this in verse 26, he says, a new heart. I'm going to take out that cold, criminal, rebellious heart. You don't have a spirit or a nature anymore that wants to resist serving God. I'll tell you what, when you give into this new nature, you know, correction is fun. The Word of God is not stepping on your toes anymore when you're walking with that Spirit of God. If the preacher starts stepping on your toes when you're walking with the Holy Ghost, you like it. Yeah. Meaning like, oh, praise the Lord, I need to be corrected. Glory to God. You know, there's not a topic in the Bible that disturbs you when you're walking in this new nature. But if there's a topic that disturbs you in the Bible, it's because somewhere up in here, your mind has not been changed. Your mind has not been renewed, and you're resisting with your soul when you should be compliant in your spirit. Are you getting a hold of this? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, I'm going to make your heart tender and willing. See, mankind could not obey God. Not would not. Could not obey God without his spirit. So notice, through this new spirit and this new nature, which we're going to see in the next verse here in just a moment, notice it's completely possible to live a fully yielded life to God. It doesn't mean we always do, but know this, we have the potential to completely yield to God and do all he wants us to do in this life. So when you stand before God someday and you try to say, well, I just couldn't do that. It was impossible. It was too much for me. The Lord's not going to abide that logic at all. He's going to quote this verse and say, no, I put a new heart in you. I took out that stone cold, rebellious heart that always wanted to break the rules and do things your own way. Some of you like to do that. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir, but when the weather turns good, people are like, ah, I'm just going to stay out of church today. So that's giving into that old nature. The heart wants to obey God. Put him first over your own wishes, your own desires. Humble yourself. The Spirit of God in you is always willing to make a sacrifice. Well, I'm going to say that again because some of you aren't getting it. The nature that God put on the inside of you is always willing to make a sacrifice. How many of you know there's sacrifices that we have to take? We will be known by the sacrifices that we make in this life. Are you here? Go to verse 27. Look at this. And I'm building up to a point. Here is why God gave us the Holy Spirit. He said, I will put my spirit within you for this cause. Did you see that? I will put my spirit within you for this cause so that you walk in my statutes and keep my judgments or my instructions and you'll do them. See, this Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of you, he is an action spirit, meaning he's a mover and a shaker. He's not going to just sit in church. He's going to do something in church. Amen. Are you here? Praise the Lord. God said mankind was completely unable to follow him. Mankind was completely unable and incapable of obeying God, but we've got a new nature now. Amen. Hallelujah. My nature is to submit to him. My nature is to yield to him. You know, my kids' sports don't come in front of the house of God. You know, the world and my desires don't get my tithe. Amen. Amen. My heart was to serve in the house of the Lord. Glory to God. I didn't, pastoring this church, I came up through the ministry of helps. I just told my pastor, if the church needs something, I'm willing to do it. And, you know, and the first thing they asked me to do is to clean tables in the youth group. Sign me up. Sign me up. Praise the Lord. It's exactly where I started. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is given so we obey the word and don't resist the word. Yes. The Holy Ghost was given so we don't rebel from God's way. The Holy Ghost was given to us so we don't get permissible with the world. There's got to be a difference between us and unbelievers. You know, the world is permissible with a lack of modesty. There shouldn't be that in the local church. There shouldn't be that in the heart of a Christian. You know, the world is permissible of sex out of marriage, but God's word is not permissible of that. The world is permissible with homosexuality. The word of God is not permissible with that. It's not. Oh boy, the Holy Ghost is given to us so we don't start agreeing with the world. The Bible says a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Boy, are you here? So that we don't get drawn and seduced into a belief system that could actually hurt us or condemn us. Amen. Don't get permissible with the world. Don't get okay with lying and cheating. Don't get okay with adultery. Don't get okay with drunkenness. You know, the world and even the modern Christian church is getting more and more okay with, you know, getting drunk, smoking dope, and thinking that God's just okay with it. No, he's not. He's not okay. He's not all right with that. And if the Spirit of God is in you, living within you, there'll be something in you that tells you, this does not please God. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There's a lot of people that get mad at me for preaching that stuff. Someday you'll thank me. I'll tell you what. Oh, and I'm not saying this to stand on any soapbox for myself or anything, because I have men of God in my life that I can say this about. Thank God for somebody who's willing to say the uncomfortable thing. Thank God for someone who will tell you the word and who will not just ease your conscience and tickle your ears. Listen, I had to confront alcoholism in my life. I was a hardcore drinker, partier, all that stuff. And when I got saved, I got gloriously saved. I knew that that lifestyle was not compatible. Not compatible with God. Didn't mean I went out and judged everybody, but I judged myself. Are you here? Praise the Lord. This is what the Holy Ghost is first and foremost concerned with. This is how we know that we are in fellowship with Him. That we have that heart that is correctable, teachable, submissive, yielding, tender, obedient, serving, loving, merciful. Are you here? Amen. Glory to God. Now drop down to verse 31. Now before we start giving you the steps here. Then shall you remember your own evil ways. Oh boy. You shall remember that there was a line between the old you and the new you. There's got to come a time where we step over that line and we look back at our old selves. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, and all things are of God. Amen. You know, I remember, and I'm not saying this, you know, about a prideful thing. I'm just giving you illustrations from my own life. I remember when I was a school teacher many years ago, and I worked right here in Jamestown at Rogers School. And I'd been a school teacher, I guess, at that point for 2 or 3 years. And somebody from my past, or somebody that I grew up with and knew in school and beyond and college and all that, you know, was there working. They got hired as a substitute teacher or whatever. And this young woman came through the school, and she stopped and she saw me and she said, Tim Stallman? You're here working in the school? And I said, yeah, I'm a teacher now. I got my degree at Fredonia and all that stuff. And she said, I've heard that you turned to God. And I'm telling you, this young lady was not shy to broadcast it. I mean, it was like reverberating through the whole building, man. She was so loud, which is just fine, you know. And she said, I heard that you turned to God. And I said, absolutely, that's right. And she says, how can you do that? How can, because she knew that I was also just started to pastor and things like that. I was just starting to preach. And she said, how do you dare stand up there and talk to people about the Bible when you know what you used to do. When you know, she's like, I know, you know, I saw you, I knew what you were. She was just trying to relieve her own conscience. And I literally quoted, I said, well, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. I said, this might be the same address, but it's a different tenant now. And that old life has passed away. That's the old me. I'm now alive in Christ. And I told her, and you can just imagine the shock on her face. I was nice about it. You know, but she's like, oh my goodness, a new creation. And what I was telling her is that there's a difference. There should be a dividing line between the new you and the old you. There could even be a dividing line as the Christian that was now versus the growth that you're going to have years down the road. There should be a difference. You should be stronger in the Lord by now. We should be growing in God. We should be serving more, not serving less. We should be, you know, more generous. We should be more helpful and more merciful. Amen. Are you here? Amen. This is our new nature. This is what I hunger for. I am hungry for these core essential truths because I know that when you've got the foundation and the relationship right with the Holy Spirit, those other things are going to flow. You know, there will be miraculous things that show up around you and for other people around you, that you'll have a heart to win the lost. You'll pray with God in earnest to know Him, not just so you can put out a fire in your life. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Now, here's the purpose. I'm going to start giving you the roadmap, and I'm going to give you the first step. Are you ready? I told you that I was just going to give you a big general idea to start. Today is just the big ideas, and over the next several weeks, we're going to sharpen them down, getting very specific of the steps you can take in your life to walk in God's highest and best. Amen. Number one, are you ready? Here is the first step into walking into God's life that He has for you. All that you are, all that you have, and all that you can do, you decide to employ for God. I'm going to say it again. All that you are, all that you have, and all that you can do, meaning your abilities. Listen, nobody has all the abilities, but all of us have some ability. That your abilities are used for the purposes of God. All that you are, all that you have, and all that you can do is submitted and yielded to God. And you say, well, Pastor, that just doesn't do anything for me today. I'll tell you what, the first step is making a decision. The first step is that you empty yourself. That you empty yourself. Oh, I'm getting some verses that I wasn't planning on preaching. Can you bring up for me Galatians 2:20? So many Christians have never even taken the first step into God's highest and best because they don't submit all that they are, all that they have, and all that they can do to the Lord. They've never made that decision before the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Paul talks about this decision. Watch this. He says, I am crucified with Christ. He said, I'm making the ultimate decision that I see myself on that cross with Him. My life, my will, my desires, my flesh is hanging on that cross with Him. Was nailed to that cross with Jesus. He says, nevertheless, I am a living sacrifice. He says, like Christ on the cross, except I'm alive. I'm a living sacrifice. He said, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in my body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We got to have that moment. That moment where we empty ourselves. And we stop seeing ourselves as owners and possessors And when we actually come to that moment where we get the big revelation, I own nothing and I'm a steward before God. The heart of the Holy Spirit is to make us stewards before God. All that I am, all that I have, and all that I can do is employed for the Lord. Boy, that goes over really well. Do you know why there's Christians that don't get excited about that? Because they're listening to that old stony heart. The stony heart says, well, that doesn't excite me. That doesn't get anything for me today. You better get out of that old nature. You better be your old, you know, look at your old self and just be disgusted. If you have a heart that says, you know, oh, I just don't want to do that. That doesn't do anything for me. I'm not excited about serving God. That should be, you know, ugly on the inside of our hearts with this new nature. Amen. Are you crucified with Christ? There's another verse playing. Find this verse for me. Try Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 4. And man, I really love it how the New American Standard Bible says it. Man, I tell you, it really brings it home. Can you bring up the 1995 New American Standard? This is an awesome, awesome way. Yeah. Go back one more verse. Go back one more verse. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Do nothing for yourself. Because the nature of God took out that stony, selfish nature. This started just playing in me on the inside. This was not part of my message. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Oh my goodness, America, we need this verse. Oh my goodness, social media. See, our mind does not like this because our mind, the Bible says, is carnal and it's the enemy of God. But that new nature, if you listen down here, says, yes, Lord, I want to empty myself. Yes, Lord, I want to make everybody around me more important than me. See, this is the power of the Holy Ghost. So, no, just give me the miracle. I want the shortcut. Oh, no, just get me this, get me that. Gonna have to deal with your heart first. Look at verse 4. This is great. It says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but look out for the interests of others. Jesus said it in Matthew 6:25. He said, don't take one thought for your own life. Glory to God. Look at verse 5. Let's keep going. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here's what we do. Here's the first step. Here's the roadmap to God's highest and best. Empty yourself. Go before God and see yourself crucified with Christ. I'm telling you. There is a major roadblock in what God's doing in this earth. God has so many plans. There are lots of miracles to be had. But mankind has taken this word or the power of the Spirit and bent it towards his own selfish needs and reasons. Oh, boy. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Next verse. Here's the attitude. Who, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. I love how the New American words that. You got to do a little study. See, Jesus, even though he was completely equal with God, he didn't have the attitude like he was better than everyone else. He is equal with God, but he didn't act, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Arrogant. Verse 7. But what did Jesus do? He emptied himself. Taking the form of a bondservant. And even though he was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the scripture says that all things were made by him and for him, he made himself in the likeness of a common man. Oh my goodness, this is awesome. This is heart surgery. This is how the word changes you from the inside out. Verse 8, let's just keep going. Being found in the appearance of a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point that he was willing to die. Even death on the cross. But yet some Christians can't even be obedient to go to church. Other Christians can't be obedient to tithe. Christians can't be obedient to serve. They can't lay down the sports. They can't put down the activity for a Sunday morning. They can't even survive a stretch of nice weather before they start to serve something else before God. Boy, Pastor, you're preaching hard. Being found in the appearance of a man, Jesus humbled himself in becoming obedient. Jesus didn't try to make himself higher than everybody. He lowered himself to any task that he could do. No task too small and no task too great. Oh, Lordy. What can you do for God? What can you do? Over the next several weeks, I'll be talking about our spirit, soul, and body. What can you do for God? Maybe this story would fit in right here. And we'll leave you with this. You know, there was just making illustrations from my own experience and whatnot. There was a time in my life, when I came out of, my old life and got saved, and my wife and I started serving God together, and we were in church, and we were serving with Pastor Michael Laketic, and we still are, and the church in Jamestown was just starting. This church started in the conference center over there in what was then the Holiday Inn, which is now the Doubletree, and it's been several different hotels in between, right? How many of you know the building I'm talking about? That's where this church started, and Pastor Michael had it in his heart that there was a church to be in Jamestown, and he was coming down. He was preaching on Sunday afternoons and all this, and there was just some volunteers coming from the Fredonia Church just trying to make it happen. And I was, standing there, and we'd go to service, and we'd, praise and worship the Lord with all four of us. Praise God. We have some of the originals right here, the Nailbones, the Hoferts that were from those days. And, things were going on. And back in those days, back in my old life, I played, guitar and all that stuff. And I'll be honest, that day in church, I was getting a little critical of the praise and worship. We had some volunteers, and praise the Lord that they were there, but I was getting a little critical, and believe me, which is totally ridiculous because nobody is worse than I am, all right? Absolutely, but I was sitting there, praise and worship, and I wasn't really thrilled, let's just put it that way. Anyone ever felt that? I mean, obviously not about our music here, but no one would ever think that here. But how many of you have ever gotten critical in your mind before, And while I was sitting there being critical in my mind during praise and worship, there was a singer that was leading, and oh my goodness, the notes were just flying everywhere, very, all right. Anyhow, you understand what I know you are all so holy. You would never be critical. But the Lord, dealt with me right then and there. He said, well, then you do it. And I was like, oh, well, no, that's not what I meant. That's the last thing I wanted to do. And the Lord, told me, and he just kept pressing on me, you tell Pastor Michael that you know how to play the guitar. Tell Pastor Michael you know how to play the guitar. I heard it every day. I'm just resisting. And finally, I went up to Pastor Michael, and I said, Pastor Michael, I'm supposed to tell you that I know how to play the guitar, and this is exactly what he did. He turned and looked at me. He pointed at me, and he said, yes, and walked away. That's all he did. I'm like, yes, what? What does that mean? What does yes mean? Well, I learned what yes meant. A couple weeks later, on a Sunday morning, all of a sudden my phone rings back when we actually had a landline, and I picked up the landline with the 30-foot cord. How many of you had one of those big, long cords? So you could just go all around the house. I pick up the big, long cord, and it's Pastor Michael on the phone. He said, hey, our singers aren't able to be in Jamestown today. Do you want to play worship music? And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, no. I had just gotten saved. I just came out of the world. I would play secular music in the bars. Believe me, I didn't know one praise and worship song. And he said, can you lead the music today? I said, well, Pastor Michael, I would do that, except I don't know how to play one Christian song. Reverend Randy's laughing because you were there for this. You were there, I know. Look, he made the sign of the cross. And Pastor Michael's like, and I said, Pastor Michael, I don't know how to play one worship song, not one Christian song. And it was just crickets. He went silent. And I'm like, what's he going to do? What's he gonna, you know? And finally he said, well, can you do anything? And of course, I thought in my mind, I'm like, what do you want, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers? You want Dave Matthews Band? What do you want, Creedence Clearwater Revival? And I didn't know what to say, but I just knew in my heart I wanted to be able to serve. You know, I wanted to be there. I said, well, Pastor Michael, the only thing I can tell you is that I sometimes take out my guitar and I just worship the Lord just alone, and I just kind of make up some songs there. And he said, that'll work. And he hung up. And my wife and I were like, oh, and I turned to my wife and I said, that was Pastor Michael, and he wants me to do music. When? Today. 2 hours from now, and we lived almost an hour away from where we were going. I mean, I had no time to do anything, so we rushed over. We needed a way for people to be able to see the words of a song that I was going to make up. We grabbed a big white poster board at the drugstore. I threw my wife a Sharpie, and I said, write down these words. Glory to God in the highest. Praise be to his name. I thought of every religious praise word I could think. In my short Christian life, all I was like, just put any kind of holy-looking good phrase on there. And I just thought in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm going to show up, and I'm going to play three chords. When in doubt, G, C, and D. Three chords that I played that day. I grabbed my guitar. We went down there. And so the real classy thing that we did is we took that poster board and we duct taped it to the wall. Duct taped it to the wall. And I stood up there in front of everybody, which was five people. And I know you're probably thinking, I started just strumming those chords, singing those words, and you're probably thinking, Pastor, I bet the Holy Ghost just came down and the power of God met you and fell on that place and just refreshed you. No, he did not. I never felt more alone in my life. I never hated myself more at that moment, and I'm convinced God was hating on me. I tell you, it just felt that way. It just felt like, oh, Lord, rapture now. Get me out of here, you know. And I sat up there and I strummed my guitar. I don't even know what I was just, I was saying every praise word. Hallelujah, I remember that one. You know, glory to God, I remembered that one. You know, and I stood up there and it was embarrassing. It was awful. You know, and from there, Pastor Michael sentenced me to nearly 4 years of leading praise and worship. I never got comfortable with it. Still to this day, the thought of that, I think I've only led worship in this building, I think once or twice, maybe at most, because one much greater than Solomon is here. You know, thank God he delivered us all. But for 4 years, it never was easy. It never felt fun. But you know what? My church had a need. And even though I didn't want to do it, I could do it. So many Christians, they think, well, I got to pray and let me seek God and pray and ask if I need to serve in my local church. No, I'm here to tell you, that's one thing you don't pray about. When the church has a need, when God has a need, it was like that man. Remember how the disciples went and found that man on the day of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem? And he took the donkey. And the Lord told him, said, just tell the man that the Lord has need of that. And that man's like, hey, where's my donkey going? And the apostles just turned to him and said, the Lord has need. Notice that man did not put up a fight. He said, oh, the Lord has need, all right. It's no longer mine. God had to find somebody with a stewardship heart. We're going to end right here. Can you bring up Proverbs 11:24? I know my story carried us over there. Sometimes we don't realize that we're withholding from God, and I don't mean just financially. That's not the point that I'm making. Though Proverbs 11:24, that works. There is one who scatters. It's talking about sowing seed or giving. That's the intention here. He's talking about what we give. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. See, that seems to be contradictory. You know, when you give, it seems like you're lessening yourself. But God says you're actually increasing yourself. And it's not just because you're increasing the money in your future, though that can happen as well. You're increasing the fruit of your righteousness. You're increasing your character. You're increasing your deeds. There is one who scatters, but he increases all the more. But there is one that withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want or lack. Can you bring it up in the King James? Watch how the King James says it. This is really, you know, how we learn this verse. There is one that scatters, yet increases. And there is one that withholds more than is meet or fit, but it tends only to poverty. See, withholding from God is not just a financial idea. We withhold God of our time. We can withhold God in our efforts. We can withhold God in our talents or our ability to do something or to fulfill a need. You know, when we withhold something from God, all that we are, all that we have, and all that we can do, it lends or tends towards poverty. When we guard our own time for ourselves and we get selfish with it, we're actually tending towards less time. When we hold our finances just for ourselves, it's tending towards poverty. You know, having an idea that you're not going to serve or do something for God because you just want to guard your own preferences is actually hurting your life. It hurts your life to withhold from God. It's not just a financial thing. It's your time, your talents, the things that you can do, the serving, the efforts. Amen? The first step is making a decision to empty yourself. Lord, I am crucified with you. I own nothing. I don't own myself. The Bible says that my spirit belongs to him. My body is called the purchased possession. Father, I'm not my own. Nothing in my possession is my own. I am your steward. I humble myself. There's no task too big or too small. I am humble, I'm tender, I'm soft, and I'm sincere to do whatever you want. That is who the Holy Ghost is going to use. That is going to be the bedrock of miracles. That is going to be the bedrock of healings. That is where and that is who God is going to move upon. Did you get some help here today? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Father, we know it's not about what we want to do. It's what we're willing to do. Lord, you put a new nature on the inside of us. You gave us a soft, tender, humble, meek, sincere heart that reminds us when we're putting things in front of you, yes, 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 yes. And just when you think that you've taken care of all the idols in your life, God will reveal something else. It's not to condemn you, it's to help you. Father, thank you that you're so zealous for us. Thank you that you love us so greatly. Thank you, Father, that you've taken out that old criminal, rebellious nature. Our nature is not to rebel or to resist you. Our new nature is to comply and to obey, to humble ourselves, to empty ourselves, to give up our own selfish ambitions, to think of ourselves as less important than those around us. Father, that's the heart that we seek. Father, I pray for this entire church, including myself. Father, give us this heart, meaning keep us reminded of the nature that you've put in us already. Father, we want to yield to this nature. This is how we want to act. This is what we want to give ourselves to. And Father, we all, myself included, we've got work to do. In a world that is so selfish, who's going to step up and put themselves last? Lord Jesus, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. but you humbled yourself and emptied yourself and became willing unto death. Thank you, Lord God. With eyes closed and heads bowed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Ask yourself that question in your heart. If today was your last day on this earth, would you be in heaven or would you be in hell? There is a hell. There is. But the good news is there's a heaven. And God didn't make hell for you. Jesus said, if you'll call upon me and believe upon me, I will go and make a place for you in my Father's house. He loves you. He cares for you. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Salvation is not up to God, meaning he's already made his mind up. He's already decided he wants to save you. Now it's up to you to believe, to release your faith, to call upon his name with a sincere and tender heart, to make a devotion of your life, to obey him all the days that you have on this earth. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to make you stand up today. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you or send anybody else. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. I know I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I need eternal life. I need my sins to be washed. I need to turn from my sin. I need to turn towards God. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray and invite the Lord into your heart. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Can you take that moment? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that you say, Pastor, that's me? I know that it's me. Listen, don't resist God. He loves you. Is there anybody else before we pray? Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. You know that you're born again, but maybe you just know that you've really walked away from God. I don't mean you made a mistake and you got right. I mean, you've really been drifting away from God and you need to rededicate your life to him today. If that's you, could you lift your hand? Is there anybody here that you'd say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life? Anybody before we pray? I see that hand. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Just let God deal with your heart. Well, we did have some hands, and so I'm going to lead this congregation in a prayer. Let's all pray this. Mean it with our hearts. Let's all pray this. Let's say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Folks, I just encourage you, if you've never made that ultimate commitment to Christ, oh, maybe you've believed upon the Lord for salvation. If you've never crucified yourself, meaning you've never emptied yourself before God, that is something that you're going to do at home with you and the Lord. And folks, let's just keep moving forward. Let's not let this world bring us down. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's give him glory. Father God, we just praise you today. We magnify you. Father, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your word. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.